As well, thank you, John. Brilliant. Well, good to see you guys. And we are in the last 2 weeks of our series looking at the disciple. The word disciple means a learner. In our context, it's someone who's learning to live life like Jesus. And just for the sake of time, I'm going to can my entire introduction, and we're just going to literally hit the ground running. But just to say, it's important that we bear in mind as we look at this subject of learning to live the life like Jesus, three things. Firstly, our identity is already transformed. Christ has already done it. He is already, just feel free to get happy at any point. He has already changed us from one thing to another. That's what it means to become a Christian. This is not us pedaling the wheels faster and faster. He has already finished the race. Okay, and so that's important to bear in mind. Secondly, this is not just purely self-effort as well. The Holy Spirit is the one who partners, who comes alongside to lead us into truth and transformation. And thirdly, God's love doesn't increase for us the more shiny we get. You know, He loves us the same, no matter our behavior, our performance. We're not performing for love, we already have His love. And everything we do is a response to His love. So we need to bear those three things in mind. Now, our discipleship language, as it were, goes around these three things: up, which is about our connection to God; in is our internal transformation; and out is the relationship to the world around. We're looking at one of the aspects of in today, and it's to do with time. In the Bible, there's two main words for time. There's the first is chronos, and chronos is a word that just talks about the general time of life, just life, just time flowing. That's the kind of common everyday word for time that's used in the Bible. There is a second word, and this word is kairos. And the word kairos means an opportune moment. It also means an appointed time in the things of God. It's the point of time when God breaks in, when God acts. So it's it can be positive or negative, actually, in terms of negatively, it's just a point in time, a life-defining moment, but also positively, it's the point where God breaks into our lives. And we have all had kairos moments in our lives, these life-defining moments. And it's how we process these moments that's critical, actually, to the health and to our growth as people, how we learn to process kairos moments. Sometimes We know we're in a kairos moment. Who's recognized that? You've known you've been in a kairos moment. You've known while you're in it, this is a life-defining moment right now, either for good or for bad. There was a moment even on the news this week. There was an unknown Vietnamese programmer who wrote a program. He's been writing programs for a while, but he wrote a program which he put out on the Android, on the App Store, called Flappy Bird. He lives in a small Vietnamese village. He writes this program, sticks it on the internet. He'd written other programs. Flappy Bird is released into the world. Within a couple of weeks, 50 million people had downloaded Flappy Bird. And this unknown Vietnamese programmer is earning £30,000 a day in royalties from advertising. 30 grand a day. Except this week, he pulled the whole thing. He deleted the app. He removed it from all the app stores because he put this on Twitter: "I can't take it anymore. It has ruined my simple life." Seriously. In an interview, he said, "I used to enjoy making games. I did it in my spare time. Now I can't even walk down the street without being mobbed. I can't stand it. I want my simple life back." Some of you are like, "I'll swap you, your life. Flap, give me the flappy royalties, I'll have it." But he's had a kairos moment, and he recognizes this is a kairos moment, and he's like, "I don't want this, I don't want to go that direction." He's turned a different direction. There's a story in the Bible, a guy called Jacob. Now, Jacob is a trickster. He has decided, he is the younger brother of two brothers, and he's decided that he is going to get by in life by conning his way. So he basically cons his older brother out of his inheritance. The problem was, his older brother was big and very hairy, which meant that when he discovered that he'd been conned, he wasn't that smart, but when he discovered he had been conned, he decided this: "I might not be as smart as you, Jacob, but I'm stronger and I'm going to kill you." So Jacob decides at that point, "I'm leaving." So he runs for it. He runs for his life. He runs across the desert, and he's in the middle of the desert one night, and he lays down and goes to sleep. In the night, he has a dream, and in the dream, there is a ladder. And on the ladder, there are angels going up and down. Jacob wakes up from the dream. God is at the top of the ladder. The angels going up and down. He wakes up from the dream and says, whoa, this is the house of God. It's a Kairos moment. God is in this place. And we'll see Jacob's life actually changes from that point. He says, God, if you bring me safely back to this point, then you will be my God. It's a turnaround moment. It's a Kairos moment that Jacob has in that moment for good. I had a Kairos moment. I've had numbers over the years. One of my Kairos moments, I was working as an engineer. I'd studied as an engineer. I was in this job as an engineer. And then suddenly, I just wasn't happy. I realized this is not what I want to do with my life. So I applied for a job as running a company with software as an IT engineer. And I just dabbled with computers. I'd never really done anything like it before, but I just applied for this job on a whim because a friend said I should. Don't do things that friends should say you should all the time, anyway. So I applied for this job, and I went there and was totally overwhelmed. I messed around with a few computers, but this was a factory running 130-odd people, basically running on these computer systems. If it went down, the thing was going to shut down 24/7. I took one look at it. I thought, there is no way I can do it. So I went, I phoned up the next day and said, I'm withdrawing my application. And the lady on the phone said, you can't. I said, what do you mean? You can't. She said, we've told everyone that you've got the job. You've got to take it. I said, I can't do the job. I cannot do this job. It's beyond me. She said, we think you can. You've got to take it. I'm in all sorts of trouble if you don't. I said, well, give me the weekend to think about it. So I went away over the weekend, and I went for a walk around Harrow Country Park with a friend, and it was a Kairos moment because I was walking around saying to this guy, I can't do this job. She says, I can. I can't. I know that I can't. He said this, and I remember it to this day. He said, Simon, there are no superheroes. If they believe in you, just give it a go. What have you got to lose? It was a Kairos moment. It turned my life. It actually changed the trajectory of my life. One of the reasons I'm here today is because of that decision and that moment. It was a Kairos moment. So we all have them. Sometimes, though, we recognize Kairos moments years later. You've been in a Kairos moment. You just didn't notice it. You didn't see it. You weren't like Jacob. You didn't realize how transitional this moment was. So many times, the negative Kairos moments, we don't actually realize. A friend of mine came to me and he wanted to pray about fear. He had a chronic fear of authority and he was just sick of it. He said, I cannot live the rest of my life like this with a fear of authority. So I said, well, let's pray and let's ask God, where did this all start? So we pray, and as we're praying, he suddenly has this memory. He's like, he said, I've not thought about this for years. He said, my teacher and my Sunday school teacher, we were in a small village, it was the same person. And he said, this person, she loved me because I was good at maths. He said, but one day I came into the lesson, she slammed my maths book on my desk and said, your father helped you do this homework. Your father did this. You're a cheat. You've shamed yourself. You've shamed this whole class. You've shamed me. Come to the headmaster's office with me now. In front of the whole class. He said, I was totally thrown. I wasn't expecting it. My dad had kind of given me some advice, but it was all my own work. I was so unjust. Went to the headmaster's office. She did the same thing. Shamed him in front of the headmaster. It was a Kairos moment. He said, I suddenly realized it was that moment when I began to fear authority. I had never realized and put the two together before. It was a Kairos moment for evil, actually. It had changed the direction and the trajectory of his life. And so we've created different tools in this series, and I want to just go through very quickly with you a tool to help us. How do we process these Kairos moments? How do we work with these things? And it's based around, we've designed these tools, if you've been following this series, on very simple things to do with audio stuff that you see on your iPod or whatever, and other unbranded products. And this is the eject symbol, very familiar symbol. And we've used this kind of to define the Kairos moment and how we define it. So this is your life. You're going a long time, and then you have this moment in time, this Kairos moment, where your life takes a different direction. And there's a few things that will be helpful to help us to process. The first thing is this, to recognize. So you can use this tool in a conversation one-on-one, in a small group setting, to talk through how you process a Kairos moment, the first thing you've got to recognize, what things am I believing? What lies am I believing? What things in life have got me to this point? What is significant about this moment? That's the first thing. The second thing is to learn to release, because a lot of the time in Kairos moments, there is a huge amount of emotion that often never gets processed. It literally just gets stuck in the heart. It just gets stuck there and not processed, sometimes for good, sometimes negatively. But part of this journey of a Kairos moment and learning to walk with God through these Kairos moments is to release. The third thing to do is to repent and forgive. Sometimes in Kairos moments, there is a change of thinking that needs to happen, which is what repentance means, a change of mind. But secondly, there's forgiveness. Sometimes there are people connected with these moments who actually have done incredible damage to our lives. And if we don't learn to process this healthily, again, we can get stuck and not transition in the right direction. The fourth thing that we need to do in a Kairos moment is to renounce. To renounce ways, attitudes, behavior, literally to push out the junk. If it's a negative moment, particularly to push out the junk that came in and tried to impact our soul. And the last thing is to replace. It's to decide this is a new direction, particularly if the Kairos moment left you going in a negative direction, a direction that's not helped you. The key thing is to learn to replace it. Now that's the kind of 2-minute version of this, which you can use to talk through. And I wanted to do it there so you can see anyone could do that. I mean, look at his handwriting, it's terrible. Anyone could do that. Just let us unpack that a little bit as so we can just get a bit more detail on it. Firstly, to recognize. Jacob is like that in that story. He recognizes this is the house of God. He recognizes I'm in the house of God. He recognizes this is a moment. I think the key thing to recognize actually in a Kairos moment is that God is with you. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Even before you came to faith in Christ, if you're not a Christian here, I've known many people who've come to faith in Christ. And as they do, part of their journey has been realizing how God was with them right the way through their lives. I was praying with a lady and a guy, and he had been horribly bullied at school, and the result of that experience was complete aloneness. He just felt so isolated the whole time. We were praying, and he remembered himself in that kind of changing room alone. And I said, was God there? Did you sense God there? Even as someone who wasn't following God at the time, did you sense God? He said, no. And then he said, wait, hang on a minute. He said, I've just remembered. While I was sitting there, this kid who was a bit geeky, a bit on the fringe of the kind of our friendship group, came and sat with me, and he put his hand on my back and he said, are you all right? And he didn't say much, but he just sat with me, and suddenly I realized I wasn't alone. He realized that was God sending someone to me to stand in the gap, as he were. He suddenly realized, as he realized God's presence in this moment, that he wasn't alone. It was a powerful, powerful impact on his life. What did the situation reveal about the lies that you've believed in life? What did the situation realize about that? Matthew 12, verse 34 says this, out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. There's something about recognizing what lies. Sometimes in Kairos moments, you say stuff that you didn't realize that you believed. Anyone done that? Comes out of your mouth and you think, I didn't realize I believed that. I didn't realize I thought that about myself until it literally just came out of my own mouth. You're all denying knowledge of that. But it's happened to me on numbers of occasions. You realize, actually, there's a whole lot of lies I'm believing here. They often come out in Kairos moments. So what patterns of behavior does it explain? It's important to recognize, first, that Christ is with you. He is with you right the way through. The second thing is to release. Christians often, and I would put myself in this category, we have these moments, these kind of situations, some particularly negatively, and what we do is we jump to the right answer. We know that God is good. We know that he's got a plan. We know all that. We jump from here to here. It's like the Sunday school, you know, what's the right answer? It's always Jesus, you know. Put your hand up and say, Jesus, you're going to be right 9 times out of 10. It's that we jump to the right answer, but without going through this middle part. And if you look at the Psalms, sometimes you read the Psalms and think, how on earth did that get in the Bible? Who was editing this thing? you know, so negative. It's like, God, where are you? But you know what? It's not that God wasn't there, but that's the emotional feeling that we have. It is not wrong to express that. In fact, it's dangerous not to express that. I remember I was, two times I had read a psalm out in church, and it was one of these psalms that's all nice and fluffy, and God, you're lovely, and we love you. And then, like, there's two verses towards the end where it says, and God, would you slay the wicked and the people that hate me? Just get rid of the lot of them. And then there's two other verses at the end that's like, and God, you know, you're wonderful and lovely. And it's such, it's one of those psalms. And so when I'd read it in church, I'd read all the beginning verses, I'd skipped those two verses, and I'd read the last two verses, and I'd done it twice. And God spoke to me and says, Simon, who do you think you are to edit my word? And I'd realize it was because we don't like to express this stuff, but it's so important to learn to release, actually. And you can do that in numbers of ways. You can do that, we'll do it at the end. You can literally picture the person in front of you and to speak it out. The person perhaps who was involved in this situation, if it was a negative kairos moment. But equally, you could write your own psalm. You know, some of you need to do that. You could journal. You could go for a walk in nature. Sometimes it's when you're with nature, actually, that you really get in contact with the stuff of the heart. You look at... John Newton, you know the song we often sing, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Many people don't know where that came from. Newton was a slave trader. He was a violent drunkard. And he was on a ship and there was a massive storm. The ship took a hole in the side. He knew that they were all going to die. For the first time in his life, he cried out to God, have mercy on me. He knew he didn't deserve it. He knew what a wicked man he was. But he said, God, have mercy on me. The ship suddenly lurched to one side, a whole cargo of beeswax came unattached and shoved itself into the hole in the ship, plugged the hole. The ship righted itself, no more water came in, and they made it home to port. He wrote the song from that Kairos moment, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Some of you have got psalms to write, songs to write that will come out of your Kairos moments, positively and negatively. So, so key to recognize that. Thirdly, and I know I'm going quickly and Caroline's going to tell me to slow down, so I'll slow down. Thirdly, repent and forgive. It's critical in these Kairos moments to repent, which means to change our thinking, to recognize that there's a turnaround. Jacob, in his moment, he says, the Lord, you shall be my God. It's that moment when he realized, I'm in a Kairos moment and I'm going to stop being my own God and making my own self-reliant way, and I'm going to say, God, you are my God. It's that change of thinking that goes on for us, and Jacob does that. Repent often means to, we think it means to say sorry. It's much bigger than that. That's part of it, but it's a turnaround. It's a change of thinking that leads to a change in direction, and then also to forgive. You know, it's so, so key. The word forgive needs to be released. And we need to release people often in these moments who have caused us damage. Sometimes even ourselves. Even this week, a while ago, I made a decision about a house purchase, which I bitterly regretted. And I thought I'd made a foolish, foolish decision. And Caroline, we've been on the journey talking about this. And Caroline said, Simon, you need to forgive yourself. This done. What's done is done. You need to forgive yourself. Good decision or bad decision, you need to forgive yourself. And so this week I just took time and I just was able to express that anger that I felt and was able to forgive myself and release myself from that. And I just felt such peace come into that whole situation as I've done that. Fourthly, to renounce. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. There's something about renouncing. Before the good can come, you've got to push out the junk. Particularly if you've had negative patterns that have developed from a Kairos moment, negative ways of thinking, negative ways of speaking, to use your voice and say, I renounce that. I'm not going to live that way anymore. Push it out of yourself. You know, Zacchaeus, in his moment in the Gospels, he's a man who was robbing people, thieving them blind. Jesus steps into his life. And he says, you know what, he renounce that lifestyle. If I've robbed anyone, I'm going to pay them back four times. It's a turning around. It's a pushing out of the way he was living. I was praying with a lady one time, and she'd been through two divorces. She had some horrible stuff that her parents had done. And the lie that she'd picked up in that journey was, I am unlovable. I just am unlovable. And so I said, part of it, I said, I want you to renounce that thinking. I want you to push it out of yourself. I want you to say, I am not unlovable. And so we waited, and I thought she hadn't heard me because she just was in silence. And I said, did you hear what I said? I want you to say, I am not unlovable. She said, I heard you. I just literally cannot say it. I said, what do you mean you can't say it? She said, I am trying to say it. I can't. So we prayed a bit more, and she was able to just whisper, I am not unlovable. And then a bit louder, I am not unlovable. And then she was shouting, I am not unlovable. As something broke off her soul, as she was just able to push it out and say, no, I'm not going that road anymore. For you, it may be something different, but it's so important just to say, I'm rejecting that. I make a line and say, and do you do it by your own self-effort? Not at all. You do it by faith in Christ. And then lastly, to replace. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Colossians 3 verse 2 says, by the power of the Spirit, bring your thinking and behavior into line with your new nature. My friend, going back to his story at the beginning with the teacher who'd horribly shamed him, in this moment, as we went through a similar process to this, just this fear, as he replaced fear with courage and said, you know what, I'm not going to back down when I'm in situations with authority anymore. I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to keep silent. He used to walk into a room, and if there were leaders in the room, he would literally shrink back. He said, I can feel my soul shrinking when I walk into a room sometime, depending on who's in the room, who's a leader. And he said, I just decided I'm going to replace that with courage. Again, by his own peddling of the wheels? No, by faith in what Christ has done. By Christ being with him, by Jesus in his life. And now, I mean, he's just a changed man. He will speak to anyone. He's got courage in situations. He says the thing that's hard to say, full of grace, but full of courage at the same time. It's so, so key. Whatever it is for you, whether it's fear to live out of courage, if it's greed to live out of generosity, if it's a hoarding to live out of a spirit of generosity and giving away, if it's a lust to refuse to go into that and say, I'm going to live from a spirit of love and of giving and not a worldly lust. If it's unforgiveness, to walk in forgiveness. So this model is a discipleship tool to help us process the kairos moments of life. The good ones, to maximize them, to get the most out of them. The negative ones, to turn them around. Instead of defining us, we get defined by what Christ has done. It's so, so key. Because the reality is this. Romans 5 verse 6 is this, for while we were still weak, at the right time, the kairos time, Christ died for the ungodly. The truth is this, the greatest kairos moment of all has already happened. Christ has come. He broke in at the right time. The Bible uses that word, the kairos time. He came at the right time while we were still lost, while we were still desperately in our ungodliness and in our sin. He came and died for us. He came as the great sacrifice that we might have life. The kairos moment, as it were, has already happened. And everything that we now do comes from that place, from what he has done. And this stuff has amazing effects all over the place. We were just in St. Neots last week, and a lady went through a similar process, just processing a kairos moment, a negative one in her life, forgave someone, dealt with some stuff. 2 days later, on amazing freedom, peace in her heart, 2 days later on Sunday, she realized that a long-term shoulder injury that she had was no longer there. She hadn't even noticed the pain had gone. She got used to living with it. And then suddenly she was completely pain-free. There's something about the human spirit that when it steps into the freedom that Christ has already bought, it just affects our whole bodies. Pray for some more of that this morning. So that was the whistle-stop version of the Kairos tool. So if you want to just close your eyes for a moment, I want to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's some here, perhaps you have not yet followed Christ and you realize, actually, this is your kairos moment. I remember the moment for me, I was an atheist and Christ broke in. Jesus broke in. Maybe this is your kairos moment. You thought you were just coming along at an invitation of a friend and you realize this is the moment. So if that's you, why don't you just pray with me? Father, I recognize this moment. I choose this moment to put my hope in Christ. I want to live as a disciple. as a follower of Jesus. I want you to be my God. I want to know your forgiveness. I want to know your love. In Jesus' name.